It's the morning show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. Birth control pills are a standard piece of women's health care. Although doctors and their patients are often comfortable with the medications, our guest says we need to know more about the pill and how it changes women to the core. Join us this hour. What questions did you ask before going on birth control pills? Have you stayed away from hormonal methods of preventing pregnancy because you're worried about side effects? Maybe you didn't have a choice because of a medical condition. Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. Our guest is Sarah E. Hill. She wrote the book, This Is Your Brain on Birth Control, The Surprising Science of Women, Hormones, and the Law of Unintended Consequences. She's an evolutionary social psychologist and a professor at Texas Christian University. Sarah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Certainly. Let's start with a foundation for this discussion. Are you advocating for birth control? Are you railing against it? Is it something else?
No, it's something else. It's just about giving women information. So this isn't a book that I'd written to try to convince women not to take birth control pills or to convince them that they should take birth control pills. Instead, it's just giving them all of the information about the things that women talk about when they talk about hormonal contraceptives that their doctors aren't really having discussions with them about. And that's, how does it sort of influence your experience as a human being? Like, how is it influencing us experientially? What does it do to our brain? What does it do to our ability to think? What does it do to our sort of, you know, feelings? What does it do to our behavior? And so it's looking at the, just giving women the rest of the story when it comes to their hormonal contraceptives, so that way they can make more informed decisions about their health.
So it's sometimes a challenge of, we're really comfortable with this, so doctors aren't explaining too much and women aren't asking enough questions.
Well, yeah, and I think that part of the story is just that the way that medicine works and the way that science works, and that is that we tend to talk about science as existing in silos. And you have medical research over here in one silo, right? And there's no windows or doors. It's just, you know, all of the clinical research that tends to focus on things that are related to safety. So, for example, doctors are very well aware and they're good at communicating with women the risks that come along with hormonal contraception and things like pulmonary embolism or stroke. But what they're not reading is over across the street in another silo with no windows and doors, the neuroscience and psychology literature. And so this research is primarily concerned with the way that hormones, and then, of course, when you change women's hormones, so hormonal contraceptives, and the way that they influence brain function and the way that they influence how women think, feel, and behave. And so psychology and neuroscience is over here and medicine is over here. And a lot of times we aren't reading each other's literature. And so these aren't even really conversations that doctors are prepared to have, because it's not really their falling within their, you know, purview of expertise. And so, but these are a lot of the things that are really important to women. And this is what women have really been talking about when it comes to hormonal contraceptives since the time it came on the market. And this is, how does it make me feel? And women haven't really been given a language to explain what they're experiencing or an explanation for why it is they're feeling that way. And so this book is really meant to fill in this gap, so that way when women are making choices about contraception, that they can just do so in a more informed way.
Sarah Hill is a researcher. She wrote a book about what happens to the body and the mind when women take hormonal birth control. I'm Keely Boltina, and you can join the conversation. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Sarah, what kinds of birth control are hormonal?
Anything ranging from the birth control pill, which is the one that most women are on. It's a combination pill that contains a synthetic estrogen and a synthetic progesterone, which is known as a progestin. Anything ranging from that to a progestin-only pill. If you get the shot, there's a vaginal ring. And there's also one of the IUDs that's out on the market is also hormonal, because there are both hormonal and non-hormonal intrauterine devices, or IUDs. I mean, anything that contains hormones in it is considered hormonal contraceptive, and it is going to have an impact on the brain, even though sometimes doctors will tell women, I've heard this from more women than I can even count, that if you have, for example, the intrauterine device that has hormones in it, that the effect will be quote unquote localized. That's not actually true. Whenever you have hormones going into the body, no matter where it is that they go in, they're going to go everywhere that blood travels. And what that means is that, one, there's no such thing as a localized effect of a hormone. And two, even if you have relatively low levels of hormones being administered via an intrauterine device, it's going to influence the brain. And in fact, that's actually the mechanism of action. We tend to think about the hormonal contraceptives in terms of everything that it does, with the ovaries and the uterus, and that it prevents an egg from being released. But what most people don't really realize, because we aren't explicitly taught any of this information, is that the way that the birth control pill ceases or prevents ovulation is actually by telling the brain not to initiate the hormonal cascade that leads to egg maturation and ovulation each month. So the mechanism of action with any form of birth control that's hormonal, regardless of whether you're getting those hormones intervaginally through, the cervix or with a shot or the pill, is actually in the brain.
And hormones, certainly we're talking about sex hormones here, but hormones play a huge role in the body. They affect so many different systems. Give us that analogy that you point to about an airplane and a pilot and the flight plan.
Yeah, so you can really think about the experience of being a human being is really, it's created by electrical and chemical signals that go on in the brain. And among those things, right, among those chemicals and signals that the brain uses to create the experience of being who you are the hormones. And the way that I discuss this in the book is just this idea that we can think about our hormones as being sort of like software. They're like a flight plan. And so they help keep, with the airplane analogy, the idea is that the experience of being you is like taking a trip somewhere. It's like flying from point A to point B. And you can think about your brain as being your pilot, and you can think about your hormones as being part of the flight software. And this is the software that your brain uses to direct its pathways. Like, where is it going? And if the flight plan says go to Cleveland, then that's what the pilot's going to do. It's going to direct the plane to Cleveland. And the hormones sex hormones work very similarly to this, or all hormones work similarly to this, where a certain hormonal profile is on the scene and the brain takes that information and says, oh, it's time to have sex right now. And it helps coordinate all of the body's systems together to work toward that endpoint. Or, oh, we need to eat something right now. Or, oh, it's time to go to sleep. Or this person is attractive. And so hormones play a role in terms of signaling what it is our brain should be doing to get us where it is that we need to go.
And that is related to sex, to childbirth, to menstruation, but also digestion, metabolism, sleep, all of those other things. We're talking about hormonal birth control specifically this hour and how it affects women. We're figuring out what we know, what we don't know, what we should know. Author Sarah Hill is our guide. Her new book explores the lesser known facts about birth control, like the pill. Our lines are open, 800-642-1234. Wondering what your questions are for our guest about birth control or how hormones work in the body, how they might affect both your body, but also your mind, your experiences. We're taking your calls or your emails, ideas@WPR.org. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. I'm Keely Boltina. The conversation continues here on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. And this hour is a conversation about birth control, the hormonal versions, the pill, the shot, the patch. These medicines prevent pregnancy or ease developing health problems. And yet they come with these unintended consequences. And this is a place for you to share your experiences. Are you on hormonal birth control? Or did you take the pill at one point in your life? What did you make of the experience? Call 800-642-1234 to talk about those effects on your physical and mental health. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest is an evolutionary psychologist. Sarah Hill grew up in Burlington, Wisconsin, went to UW-Milwaukee, and she wrote the book, This Is Your Brain on Birth Control. Let's take a call now. Matt from Wauwatosa has an experience. Matt, welcome to the morning show.
Thank you, Keely. Hey, Sarah. My fiance and I are going to be getting married shortly into the new year. So she stopped taking her birth control pill, and so that, like, once we got married, then we could take and try and have a family, because we're trying to do stuff right, you know, follow steps, whatever. About a month ago, I think it was, we had a oops, and she ended up taking the plan B. And I was just wondering, sir, if you could speak to the effects, because she had almost a week and a half of effects where she just was feeling off, and I mean, just a whole bunch of hormonal effects. And I just wonder how much stronger something like that is versus just regular birth control.
Yeah, Matt, thank you so much for the question. And Sarah, Plan B works to prevent pregnancy kind of at the last minute, and it does contain hormones.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And thanks for sharing your story. That is, in some ways, something like Plan B, it really sort of works as a magnifying glass on the effects of hormonal contraceptives on the brain and women's experiences, both physically and psychologically, because it's really very similar to what we see with birth control pills in terms of the ingredients and the things that are the mechanisms of action, but it's a much higher dose. And so in some ways, we can almost look at it as being almost like a caricature of the impact of the birth control pill on the brain. And it's the same type of hormones that are in Plan B as in the regular birth control pill, but in these much higher doses. And so it's almost like being hit over the head with them. And now the good news is with Plan B is that it does get out of your system after a period of time. And thankfully your fiance was able to return back to her old self within, you know, a week and a half's time. And so, but it really works the same way, but it really highlights in like exaggerated form the ways that the birth control pill can influence a woman's experiences.
And before we dig into the mechanics, the science of birth control, we should acknowledge that some people not comfortable talking about women's hormones. There's that stereotype that women are hormonal. Some people use that against women. What does science tell us about that cycle?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is a really tricky thing. And having this discussion about the way that the birth control pill influences women's brains is tricky politically, for in part the reason that there's part of the thing that makes it difficult is just that, you know, birth control has been so amazing for women. And so it's difficult to talk about it that way, because nobody wants to talk too critically about this amazing tool that women have had in their ability to empower themselves. But the other part is this piece that you mentioned, and that is talking about the role of sex hormones being involved in what women's brains are doing is seen as politically risky, just because for a very long time, women were treated as less rational versions of men because our hormones change cyclically. But as I discuss in the book, you know, the idea that women's hormones change and influence their behavior and how they think, feel, and behave, and that men's don't, is just absolutely not based in science. And even though women's hormones do change cyclically, so if you look at women's levels of sex hormones, both estrogen and progesterone, which are women's two primary sex hormones, and look at the way that they change across the cycle, they do change cyclically. But if you tell me a woman's age and the first day of her last menstrual cycle, which is why doctors are always asking for this information, you can make a really accurate prediction about exactly what her sex hormones are doing. And in the first half of the cycle, you find that levels of estrogen are relatively high and levels of progesterone are relatively low. And then you find the opposite pattern in the second half of the cycle. So starting around day 16 of the cycle, you see that there's a little bit of a switch and progesterone becomes dominant. Now, this is cyclical, and it does influence how women sort of think, feel, and behave, with each hormone contributing to different types of experiential effects. But that doesn't mean that it's capricious or whimsical. And in fact, the point I make in the book is that if anybody has capriciously changing sex hormones, it's men, because testosterone, which is, of course, men's primary sex hormone, it changes all the time. And it changes in ways that are really unpredictable. So, for example, we know with men that testosterone changes, you know, across the day. So it's got a circadian rhythm where it sort of just changes based on the time of day. It changes in response to seeing an attractive woman. It changes in response to competitive wins or losses. It changes in response to the loss of a sports team or the win of a sports team. It changes in the presence of guns. So like testosterone changes all the time. It changes when a man gets married, it decreases. When they have children, it decreases even more. I mean, there's all kinds of things that influence testosterone levels. And testosterone, just like women's sex hormones, influence what men's brains think, feel, and do. And this is actually a really positive thing. You know, our hormones are part of what allows us to adapt to our environments and to behave in ways that, you know, would have helped our ancestors survive and reproduce. And so this idea that women are somehow hormonal just because, you know, our sex hormones influence our brains, but that men are not, is just simply absolutely not true. And we need to move past this double, you know, this perceived double standard that's not a double standard at all, right? Because both men and women have changing sex hormones that influence their behavior. In order to have these really important conversations, I think for a really long time as feminists, you know, we were taught that the only way that we could ensure that we wouldn't have our rights taken away is if we just denied hormonal involvement in our brain. But it prevents us from really understanding the way that our brains and our bodies work, and it prevents us from understanding a hormonal contraception and all of the influences that it can have on our psychological experiences.
Sarah Hill is a researcher and author. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're talking about the effects of hormonal birth control on women, on their lives. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Sarah, hormones not only affect our bodies, but our relationships too. They can influence the kind of people we're attracted to. How does that work?
Yeah, this is really interesting, and this is something that's pretty provocative. And this is that who women are attracted to, and even just their attunement to men and their attunement to sex, all of these things are influenced by women's levels of sex hormones, in particular, the sex hormone estrogen. So for more than a couple of decades now, researchers have been finding that the sex hormone estrogen increases women's attunement to what I like to call sexiness cues in men. So when levels of estrogen are relatively high, women's neurons are really excitable. So we know that estrogen works like Miracle-Grow in the brain. I mean, it makes women's attunement, like to fine-tune differences between men, heightened. And what we tend to find is that when estrogen is relatively high, that women are really sort of cueing in on men's level, like cues that historically have been associated with levels of testosterone in men. So for example, we know that when estrogen is relatively high across the cycle, that women are particularly attuned to things like a man's, like whether he has a square jaw or the depth of his voice, like does he have broad shoulders and sort of deep set eyes? Some of these sort of testosterone markers. And so we find that that estrogen predicts women's testosterone preference in men, so the sort of masculinity in male faces. And so researchers then became really interested in the idea that birth control pills, because they keep women's levels of sex hormones, their own levels of sex hormones, really low, and then they replace them with these synthetic hormones that have a hormonal profile that has levels of this synthetic progesterone or these progestins elevated relative to the levels of estrogen, whether or not being on the birth control pill might actually decrease the emphasis that women place on sexiness in their choice of partners. And so the way that researchers have tested this is by comparing the partner preferences or the facial preferences in men, well, in women, looking at male targets, and looked at whether or not women on the birth control pill might actually prefer men with less masculine faces relative to their naturally cycling peers. And then they've also looked at the faces of men that were chosen as partners by women who are on or off of the birth control pill. And what this research finds is that for women who are on the birth control pill, they prefer male faces that are somewhat less masculine than what is preferred by the non-pill taking women.
Oh, how interesting.
And that they're actually, yeah, and that they're actually, yeah, and they actually choose as partners. Partners with less masculine faces.
Author and researcher Sarah Hill stays with us this hour as we discuss what science proves about hormonal birth control, how it affects our lives. You're part of the conversation. Email ideas at WPR. What do you wonder about hormonal birth control? This conversation continues after the news. I'm Keely Boltina. You're listening to The Morning Show right here on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. One of the more well-known side effects of hormonal birth control is mood swings. That's true when women go on or off the pill. And it doesn't stop there. Introducing hormones into our bodies can have significant influence on mental health, depression, anxiety, our response to stress. Have you taken birth control? How did it change the way you felt about yourself? Was it a good decision, or do you regret trying out the pill or the patch? And how much did you talk to your doctor before filling the prescription? Call us, 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email at ideas@WPR.org. You're part of this conversation with Sarah Hill. She's an evolutionary psychologist and author of the book, This Is Your Brain on Birth Control. Sarah, what concerns you about the way we so willingly introduce hormones into women's bodies?
You know, I think that we've been really cavalier when it comes to women's hormones. And I think part of this is because we all have a little bit of a blind spot about just how pervasive a role they play in terms of what's going on in the brain. When doctors, you know, prescribe the birth control pill to women, they're oftentimes doing it for reasons that are, you know, far less important than pregnancy prevention. So, you know, changing women's levels of sex hormones has become the first line of defense when it comes to things like clearing up your skin or regulating your cycle, or maybe even decreasing women's menstrual cramps each month. And the idea that we give these hormones to women, and oftentimes very young women, when they're also going to be influencing the activities of the brain and in turn, the version of a woman that her brain is creating, I think that it goes to show you how little we've really thought about, you know, is it necessarily a great idea to be changing who a person is to clear up their skin or to decrease their, you know, the severity of their menstrual cramps. And, you know, this isn't a decision for me to make. It's just information, really, it's food for thought, because each one of us needs to really understand what it is that we're doing when it comes to introducing sex hormones into our body. And, you know, I think that this is really an important issue, especially for teen girls. Many times, doctors will put teen girls, so girls who are 19 and younger, on hormonal contraceptives for reasons that, like, that are not quite as important, I would say, as a pregnancy prevention. I think that we can all agree that avoiding an unintended pregnancy, especially for a girl who is still finishing her education and not in a position or has the desire to have children. And in these cases, I think that, you know, a lot of times hormonal contraceptives might make very good sense since they are so effective and easy to use. But when it comes to less sort of important things, I mean, things that there might be an alternative means of managing. So, for example, acne, putting these young girls whose brains are still developing on hormonal contraceptives just seems as having that as sort of a reflex by doctors seems a little bit, it seems to sort of betray the important role that sex hormones play, not only in terms of what the brain is doing right now, but also in terms of brain development.
Yeah, Brady from Madison actually has a comment about this. Brady, welcome to the morning show. What did you want to say?
First of all, I just want to say thanks a lot for having me. Thanks for covering an important issue. I just wanted to call and say I thought it was absolutely remarkable the rate at which we are just giving hormonal contraceptive to young ladies, women. It just seems ludicrous to me because just from the standpoint of if we carried the same practice with giving hormonal testosterone to teenage boys, to young adult men, I mean, people, it would never happen. We know we can't do that. It would have so many consequences in terms of physical development, sexual development, social development, endocrine system. I mean, every part of your body is regulated by these hormones. We're just sprinkling them in kind of willy-nilly without really knowing the consequences, or with knowing the consequences, just doing it. It seems so irresponsible. Thank you, guys. I'll take it off the air.
Yeah, Brady, thanks for that comment. Sarah, Brady sees a double standard here.
Yeah, no, Brady's absolutely correct. We would never give steroids, you know, which is testosterone, to developing boys. And we do this routinely with girls. We do, you know, these young girls, their brains are still developing. Their sexual, you know, their endocrine system is still developing. And we're putting these girls on these sex hormones without knowing. There's almost no research looking at the long-term effects of putting these still developing girls on these sex hormones. And doctors are routinely doing this. And again, oftentimes for these reasons that aren't, you know, that where the risk might not outweigh the benefit. You know, in the case of pregnancy prevention, there's, you know, one could make an argument that it might make sense in that the benefits of avoiding an unintended pregnancy during one's teenage years outweighs the risks that, you know, and the unknowns that are associated with giving women, you know, synthetic hormones when they're still developing. However, when it comes to things like just decreasing your levels of menstrual cramps, I mean, it does seem like we have this double standard where we're willing to do change what women's hormones are doing in ways that may influence sort of developmentally, right, their reproductive pathways, the hormonal pathways that influence reproduction, and also their brain development. And there is a definite double standard when it comes to, you know, like steroids, which of course is, you know, testosterone, and women's sex hormones.
Sarah Hill is an evolutionary psychologist, also author of a book about birth control's effects on the body. I'm Keely Boltina, and we welcome your thoughts, your experiences in this conversation. Did you feel like something was off while on hormonal birth control? How did you handle it? Did health providers listen to you, or did you feel like you weren't really taken seriously? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Sarah, you disclosed that you were on hormonal birth control for the better part of a decade. And when you stopped taking the pill, your perspective changed. What did you notice?
Yeah, this was a real surprise to me. When I went off of the birth control pill, within about 3 months of going off of it, I just started to feel different. I felt more vibrant and awake. Just to give you examples, I felt like I had more energy, and I found myself going back to the gym again, and I was cooking and listening to music. And even though this is going to sound sort of silly and crazy, I was just like more in tune with myself as like a woman, as like a female. I started growing my hair out again, and I was sort of more in tune with myself as being somebody who's like a sexual creature. I was thinking about sex again. And it was all of these different things where it was like my senses felt heightened relative to what they felt on the birth control pill. And this was part of what led me to want to do the research into the ways that the birth control pill influences the activities of the brain. I knew that there had to be some sort of psychological reasons for feeling as different as I did, because I really felt like the way I describe it in the book is like I felt like I went from a two-dimensional, like black and white drawing of my life. I felt like I crawled off the page. I felt like I sort of entered this colorful world, and that it was like more dimensional and sort of rich than what it had felt when I was on the birth control pill, when life just felt a little bit monotone.
Right. And the research shows us that the birth control pill can impact mood, can impact our mental health. But physicians don't always buy that. Sometimes it's an issue of, well, you know, that might be in your head, but I guess we can switch the pill.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's funny because what's in the head is the brain.
Fair point.
You know, the doctors will say that as a way to write off women. And women can just say, well, yeah, that is the location of my brain, which is where all of these feelings
are
coming from.
That's a great comeback. We'll remember
that.
Yeah,
exactly. So like, let's address those issues instead of trying to make me feel like I'm the problem instead of the birth control pill. I think that doctors... It's so funny because even people who are in the sciences, and I would certainly count doctors in this camp, we tend to endorse this sort of Cartesian mind-body split where sometimes we lapse into magical thinking where we forget that the brain is an organ in the body and that whenever we're changing what's going on in the body, that it's going to be influencing the activities of the brain. And so I think that women need to learn to become advocates for their own experiences. And, you know, one of the big reasons that I wrote the book, This Is Your Brain on Birth Control, is to really explain to women the way that the birth control, you know, what do we know about the way that hormones influence the brain? And what do we know about what the research says about the way that the birth control pill can influence your brain. So that way women have a language that they can use to describe what's happening to them to their doctors. And some of this is using language that the doctors should be very familiar with. And that, you know, just teaching women how to become advocates for their own experiences. Medicine for a very long time has routinely written off women's experiences on different types of medication, including the birth control pill, because they didn't understand what was happening with women. And the reason for this is that for the overwhelming majority of history, and this is still the case right now, even though things have gotten somewhat better, most of what we know about the way that people respond to medication or respond to clinical treatment is based on research that's been done almost exclusively on males or men. So male animals in animal research or in men. And so, you know, women and men don't usually respond to things in the same way because their bodies and brains are different. And so when women come in and say, this isn't making me feel right, or I'm experiencing this effect, and the doctor is telling them, I've never heard of that, the chances are the reason they've never heard of that is because the research that they were reading to determine what the side effects are of a medication is based on research that was done in men. And so women have been routinely written off.
Sarah, I'm going to jump in here. We're talking about hormonal birth control with author and researcher Sarah Hill. And you can join the conversation. I'm Keely Boltina, and you're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, and this hour is a conversation about hormones and birth control and what happens to women when we change our body chemistry. And we're talking with the author of This Is Your Brain on Birth Control. Sarah Hill is an evolutionary psychologist. And I want to go ahead and welcome Sue from Minocqua to the conversation. Sue, what's going on in your world?
Well, I'm kind of on the other end of the spectrum in that I went on hormone replacement after surgery-induced menopause, family genetic predisposition to breast and ovarian cancer. So I had my ovaries removed at the age of 52. And roughly a year later, all of a sudden I had no ability to focus, concentrate, couldn't function as a human being, really. So I went on hormone replacement, and within days, things came back, and I'm wondering what damage I might be doing because of that. I was on birth control as a child, young adult, so in the 80s, I did it for 7 years. But I'm wondering, birth control versus hormone replacement, do I have concerns?
Sue, thank you for the question. And Sarah, you know, this is all still about this concept that hormones affect every part of the body.
Right. Yeah. So I think that I wouldn't worry, because I don't think that you're doing any sort of lasting damage. This is something, if this is a conversation that you should be having definitely with your doctor. They're really good. I mean, medicine has been less good in terms of understanding the experiential and sort of psychological effects of our medications, but they do really have their fingers on the pulse of health risk, so clinical risk for, other types of problems that you might have. So I would just, you can rest assured and sort of take a deep breath knowing that whatever it is that you're taking is probably safe, at least based on the latest science. Is safe. So I wouldn't worry about, if you're doing damage to your body. I think that you're probably going to be okay. And I don't, because I'm a psychologist and a researcher in sort of that aspect of science, I can't make recommendations about like the differences between, for example, hormone replacement therapy versus birth control pills. I can say that that the return of feeling sort of human and normal again, just goes to show the important role that sex hormones play in terms of influencing the activities of our brain and how we experience the world. And if you're feeling better on the birth control pill, that's really like the data point that you need to know.
Because, sure. Given you feel more you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. If you feel more like yourself, then you're on the right track. It's really all about sort of keeping track of how you're feeling and then making the decision that's right for you. So if you feel better and your doctor knowing the risks of, your family risk, because of course, with the birth control pill, there is a risk of, for example, we know that there's a heightened risk of stroke. But if your doctor has you on the pill, chances are they think that the risk is relatively low for you and you feel good. That's great. Then you've made a really, you've made a good choice for yourself, and you can do so knowing that based on the latest science that you're making a choice that's going to be safe for your body.
Yeah. We have another caller about the science. Linda from Eau Claire. Welcome to the morning show.
Thank you. And thank you, Sarah, for being on the program.
Oh, and it looks like we may have just lost Linda. But Linda was mentioning that she knew someone from a program at UW Eau Claire here in Wisconsin who researched and observed similar things related to women and the brain. And she also wanted to mention that she was concerned about higher risk of suicide in women. What does your research, Sarah, tell us about the connection between depression, risk of suicide, and the birth control pill?
Yeah, no, this is such an important issue, and it's something especially important for younger girls. And this is based on some really amazing research that was done in Denmark. And Denmark is it's an interesting place to do health research, because they are actually able to study the entire population of Denmark, because they have these health registries that allow researchers to look at, for example, how does going on the birth control pill, and because Denmark has socialized medicine, they know each woman who's been prescribed the birth control pill, because it's something that's paid for by the government of Denmark. They're able to look at an entire population of people and how being on the birth control pill influences the risk factor for things like depression, anxiety, and suicide risk. And there's been several studies now that have come out of this population of people. And what they have found is that being on the birth control pill predicts a significantly increased risk of developing depression, being later prescribed an antidepressant, and also suicide risk. And what they find is that the risk of these outcomes after being prescribed the birth control pill is particularly pronounced for 15 to 19 year old girls. So women whose brains are still developing, these young women, and 15 was just the youngest that they looked at. Presumably it would be, all women who are 19 and younger are at a heightened risk for these types of negative psychological consequences when they are on the birth control pill. And they find, for example, that women who are 19 and younger who go on the birth control pill, that their risk of suicide is about 3 times higher than it is for girls who have not been prescribed hormonal contraceptives. And we know that the risk of depression is even greater than that. And this is really important information for parents to have, because a lot of times women, again, during these, you know, younger years, are being prescribed hormonal contraceptives for reasons beyond, you know, or that are far less than pregnancy prevention. And in even if it's being prescribed for pregnancy prevention, I think that it's really important that parents really closely monitor their daughters if they're going on hormonal contraceptives. And for young women who aren't telling their parents that they're going on the birth control pill, tell a friend or tell your partner or tell anybody if you're going to be starting a hormonal contraceptive, so that way they can help keep tabs on how you are doing. The sneaky thing about mood is that our brain isn't always good at separating our experiences from the person that we are. So, for example, if you go on the birth control pill and you start feeling depressed or really anxious or even suicidal, it doesn't feel like, oh, my brain is doing this because I'm on the birth control pill, or, oh, this must be this. Instead, usually what our brain will do is it will come up with a really good explanation for why it's feeling the way that it is. Like, oh, my life has just gotten worse. Oh, my relationship with my boyfriend is bad. Oh, school is too challenging for me. Right. So we tend not to attribute feelings of depression and anxiety that we have to medications that we're taking. Instead, we tend to internalize them and just think that our life is worse. And so it's hard for us to pinpoint depression or anxiety or even suicidal ideation from creeping in. And so I think it's really important that we talk to somebody and let them know to keep an eye on us if we're starting this, especially with these young girls. So that way parents can step in, or your friend can step in, or your partner can step in and help, you know, talk and let you know what's going on. So that way you can either change your prescription or consider an alternative means of pregnancy prevention.
Sarah, we have run out of time. I do want to know, though, what's your advice for women and people supporting women to try to make the best decision for themselves? Just in this last minute, what do you want people to know?
I want them to know that they need to really educate themselves about the way that hormones influence the brain, and also the way that what we know about the way that hormonal contraceptives can influence the activities of the brain, and really just becoming advocates for their own health and who they want to be, and making sure that they have these conversations with their doctor.
Sarah, this has been really enlightening. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Certainly. Sarah E. Hill is the author of the book, This Is Your Brain on Birth Control: The Surprising Science of Women, Hormones, and the Law of Unintended Consequences. She's an evolutionary social psychologist, professor at Texas Christian University, and she grew up right here in Burlington, Wisconsin. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.